Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two for FST Game Day Edition. Thanks for listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blewett, Jim Day, Scott Engel. Peeking around the world of the NFL. Keeping you updated. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Scott is at Scott E. Roto X. And Jim, and that's EX at the end. And Jim Day is at Fantasy Taz, T-A-Z. So for those of you listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, thank you. And tune in radio and iHeartRadio and anywhere else. Thanks so much. We appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with us. So we were talking running backs and stuff during the break as far as, you know, other major NFL news. We updated you on the Giants Niner situation. So that's obviously a difficult one. We're doing injuries as we go around from place to place. We're doing, position to position. Joe Flacco, his hip injury could sideline him next week. Now, obviously, the Ravens are off right now, but it is worth noting that he may have a significant injury. You might be looking at the Lamar Jackson era. Other injuries out there. Let me see. We know about the Le'Veon.
Let me interject a point here real quick.
Yes, sir.
There are some out there reporting that it may not be the Lamar Jackson time. It may be Robert Griffin being thrown in just because of the experience. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, everybody wants the flashy new object, but he definitely has some concerns about his game as a full-time starter. So don't be surprised if we see Robert Griffin in there.
I mean, it's been a long time since the preseason, but when he was in there, he didn't look ready at all. I mean, it wasn't even a debate. I know people were very eager to get Lamar Jackson ready to go, and I have some thoughts about him long-term as to how successful he may or may not be, but that's not really relevant right now. And I would probably go that way too, because the Ravens are still in it, Scott. This isn't a team that's completely out of it. They're battling for a playoff spot, and I think RG3 would give them a better chance to win a game.
Yeah, RG3 didn't look terrible at all during the preseason. You know, actually played under control, made some good throws, whatever. You think Lamar Jackson has a little bit more upside, but he looked more erratic as a passer. You know, RG3 did look a little more steady. He looked a little bit better than I thought he would.
Yeah, so, there's an interesting dynamic when guys are drafted very highly. First-round picks, especially when they're right towards the top of the draft, and they don't work out as that franchise's QB. A lot of times, Jim, those guys don't get second and third chances. RG3 happens to be getting them finally. But he was out of football for a bit before he came back in. A lot of times it's just assumed, well, that guy, that he failed because of X, Y, and Z, and he's just not really an asset. Which is interesting because, yeah, he may not be the franchise quarterback that you expected, but these guys should be able to develop into solid backup quarterbacks, especially with a likely skill set that got them drafted highly in the first place. Do you know what I mean? A lot of times these guys, if they don't make it, they just get swept out of the league. I'm sort of glad for RG3 that he gets additional opportunities here.
Well, you know, there was always concern that he wasn't going to be a good pocket passer. And, you know, we know that NFL teams really want, you know, most quarterbacks to be pocket passers. They say it's hard to be a running quarterback and be successful over time, except, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks right now that are dominating have the use of their feet and are good movers and getting the job done, sort of like what Robert Griffin did when he was a rookie. You know, he was moving a lot and making plays on the move. They tried to force him into being that pocket passer. Didn't really work out for him. You know, maybe now time has gotten him into that role a little bit more. But as they're getting him into that role, we're finding other quarterbacks going more the other way, using some more, you know, the RPOs, things like that, because they can move. And, you know, that plays into his hands. Whether or not they let him open it up or not is a second story.
It's an interesting point, Scott. So what we were talking about before with Patty Mahomes, it's almost the same kind of deal where maybe the league is coming a little bit closer to what RG3's truer skill set is, and they can adapt in that way. Now, what bugged me about RG3 was that he was really stubborn about the running thing. He was taking hits that in many instances he didn't need to take. He could have just veered out of bounds or slid or whatever, and he was taking people on and getting hurt.
Like Deshaun Watson is this year.
Yeah.
But I think it's a kind of a three-headed thing. You want a guy to be a good pocket passer and be able to also to run around. You know, Russell Wilson, you know, the Brian Schottenheimer is trying to get him more pay in the pocket, et cetera. You know, and he's adapted just fine to that. All the fantasy numbers have gone down. It's what they wanted to do offensively. You know, they don't want him throwing 40 times a game, even though fantasy players do. And, you know, again, you know, look, I'll go back to Wilson as an example of a guy when he scrambled, he would always very smartly slide and run out of bounds. Where you have, you know, guys like RG3 or Watson, you know, who take big hits. Cam Newton, though, doesn't have to, you know, play with that kind of fear because he's just such a big guy, you know, and those hits, like, ring off of him. But, you know, Cam Newton becomes a better passer when, you know, he's completing higher percentage passes from the pocket. You see with Cam Newton this year that he's throwing a lot more flat passes to McCaffrey, et cetera, and that's improving his completion percentage. Of course, you have your classic drop-back quarterbacks like Brady, but even Rodgers, you know, he's mobile as well. So, you know, the best quarterbacks to date, Jim Day's point, is, you know, that I think it's a fusion of both. Look at Trubisky. You know, he's so dangerous because he runs.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be running too, right? Like you talk about mobility, and Aaron Rodgers is pretty mobile. He doesn't really have to run. Now, I don't like to use the elite example as the exception that proves the rule, but mobility is sometimes more important than running ability, if that makes sense to anybody out there. So I'll ask one question about running backs
just to add to that point, not only the mobility, but being able to pass while on the move is key.
True. Absolutely.
Even Brady could do that. You know, he's not a running quarterback, but he moves really, really well in the pocket.
Yeah. So to borrow a thing that happened in college football yesterday, by the way, my BC Eagles got smoked by Clemson last night.
Big time.
Starting quarterback got knocked out in the first quarter, though. We were toast. I think we were toast anyway, but we were toast as soon as that happened. And he got pummeled by a future NFL defensive lineman. They have three defensive linemen on Clemson that are probably first-round picks.
Beast.
They are incredible. Yep. And one of them, Christian Wilkins, just slammed Anthony Brown to the turf, and he was out of the game. And anybody would have been out of the game after that hit. So, darn it, took me. Oh, I know what happened. Oklahoma State last night. That game is back and forth. A missed extra point made it tight, and it gets down in the final. It's now 48-47. Oklahoma State scores with a minute left. And they had missed a previous extra point, so they could have just kicked this extra point to go up one. But now, look, their season has slipped away a little bit. It's their blood rival who's still gunning for the college football playoff. And the QB, they decide to go for two. And the QB, who had a really good game overall, obviously he scored 47 points. He threw a whole bunch of touchdowns. He rolls out on this two-point conversion, and the guy's open. But to your point, Jim, he didn't set his feet properly, and he's on the move, and he threw it. He turfed it. He just threw it way behind the guy. A defensive play didn't even need to be made. And that is an example of your mobility and how difficult, and you both said it, how difficult it can be to throw on the move. If he had just planted his feet, the guy's wide open. If he throws it towards the pylon, Oklahoma State scores, and they had a chance to beat Oklahoma there. Now, Oklahoma still had a minute left, and Kyler Murray is All-American stuff, but or at least All-Conference stuff. So, anyway, we diverged a little bit on a conversation there, but always important to discuss those kinds of things at large. One question on running backs before we turn the pace to wide receivers. Scotty, you have Tariq Cohen at 17, Jordan Howard at 22.
You know, the yardage really isn't there with Jordan Howard.
That's right.
He's more touchdown dependent
very
than anything,
so.
I think.
He has been scoring, but he's too touchdown dependent touchdown. Still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen, you know, definitely more yardage upside, you know, especially against those Lions linebackers.
And last one, Kerryon Johnson down at 25. Jim, I assume this is because it's just a tough matchup.
Well, tough matchup, plus you got Theo Riddick back, and that's we saw last week that, you know, basically takes Kerryon Johnson back out of the passing game 1 week after he caught, you know, six passes, 60-plus yards, and, you know, we all got excited. Then, of course, Riddick comes back and kiboshes that, and because of that, when you add in the fact he's not getting the goal line chances, he's not getting the passing downs, and he's got a tough matchup, I'm surprised Scott has him this high. For me, he is a total sit this week. To me, this is the lock of the week for me. I think Chicago just dusts Detroit from start to finish in this game and just blows them out.
Yeah.
Do you think I have too high?
Kerryon Johnson.
Kerryon Johnson.
Oh, Kerryon Johnson. You know what? I can see that, but just because of the talent, you know, the guys behind him, I can't push him ahead of him.
I like Riddick the rest of the season, not today. I think Golden Tate going away and Riddick coming back just helps Riddick. I think he's become an asset again.
Yeah, they were using him in the slot last week.
Yeah, and I fully expected that. So I think he's a good asset. This is obviously a tough week, as we know. So, again, exclusive edge package, PPR rankings for wide receivers. Mike Thomas, my man, number one. He saved my bacon last week. Woo! Did he save my bacon in one? I mean, just a monster. And anyway, Mike Thomas saving fantasy teams across the nation last week. He's just awesome. He's awesome. He's young, but it doesn't matter, man. He is awesome. He's an elite wide receiver already. I can't put him in that top four or five yet, but he is knocking on the door, and I probably should. You know, with AB and Odell and Julio and AJ.
He had a couple of bad weeks. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get in there, but he had a couple of bad weeks, and people started to get down on him. And, you know, most of that was because Drew wasn't throwing a lot. Two great running backs on the team. You know, what we saw last year, they didn't have to throw a ton. So we saw a little depression from him, but, you know, he is one of the most elite. And he's got such a great matchup this week. I mean, Cincinnati's defense has been abysmal. Over 2,600 yards allowed, 18 touchdowns. You know, it just to the quarterbacks alone, and just Drew Brees right now is playing at an elite level, and you got to love this offense.
Yeah, Antonio Brown comes in at number two, Davante Adams at number three. I wanted to ask about Aaron Jones. We'll do that a little bit later, but I'll talk about Green Bay as a whole a little bit later. Green Bay, Davante Adams of Green Bay versus Miami comes in at number three. Julio Jones at number four. He scored a touchdown, guys. He did it. Last week, Odell Beckham comes in at number five, Tyreek Hill at six, Cooper Kupp at seven, Robert Woods at eight, Brandon Cooks at nine. Wow, three in a row. I haven't seen you do it quite like that yet this year, Scotty. So Kupp, Woods, and Cooks all back-to-back-to-back against Seattle.
Against his team.
Yeah, yeah. A three number one wideouts.
Yeah, last time they rolled up over 400 yards of offense, Jared Cook went Jared Goff went well over 300 yards, something that Jared Cook would never do.
How dare you besmirch the name of Jared Goff,
but
calling him Jared Cook.
But, but, you know, the Seahawks play a straight-up cover three. You know, that's, you know, they're just playing the same defense they had when they had the Legion of Boom. And, you know, while some of the guys have played well back there, doesn't have the talent. And Jared Goff knows how to pick that apart, you know, with multiple crossing routes, et cetera, clear outs. You know, Goff really played well against them last time. It's just the danger with Goff is that Gurley will always finish off the drives. But these guys are going to get the yardage. Cooper Kupp working against Justin Coleman in the slot. You have to like it a lot. And if they're what they've seen on film, you know, Brandon Cooks is going to get Trey Flowers on the outside there on that left side and a lot of big play potential.
Julian Edelman comes in at number 10. Mike Evans at 11. Keenan Allen at 12. Juju Smith-Schuster He of the 75-yard touchdown pass, Scott had him at 13. Tyler Boyd at 14 without A.J. Green there. Could be some big numbers for Tyler Boyd, right, Jim?
Well, definitely. Tyler Boyd is going to get that shot. We just have to concern, not so much this week against New Orleans. New Orleans hasn't been able to stop anybody. But if A.J. Green is to miss more time, it's going to be interesting to see if Tyler Boyd can hold up against playing against some of the better defensive backs in the league with A.J. Green off the field. Always nice when, you know, you're a good slot guy to have that number one wide receiver on the outside that dominates defensive, you know, scheming. So without that there, it's going to be interesting to see how Tyler Boyd can step up. They need him to outside of him. You're talking, you know, guys like John Ross and Erickson, guys that, you know, really haven't done anything in this league at all. One thing I just want to go back real quick to talk about the Rams offense. The one thing that I really like about these three wide receivers is that they're running 11 personnel over 96% of the time. And, yeah, you know, again, for people not sure, 11 personnel refers to one running back, one tight end, which means there's three wide receivers on the field. And they're running it 96% of the time. Plus, they're integrating.
If it ain't broke, Jim.
Running,
if it ain't broke.
Yeah. All three of these wide receivers into the running game as well, giving them alternate chances to get involved in the running game and making big plays that way. This offense is really just running on all schemes. They lost last week to the Saints. Oh well, I think this week they bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, I think to those that don't realize, that is an extremely high percentage of three wide receiver sets.
Very.
That's extremely high. Even in a league that has been going this way for a while, that's extremely high. But they know where their bread is buttered, and it's obviously working extremely well. So no criticisms there. We will continue to do wide receivers after the break as well. The one thing I'd say on the Bengals in general, they're extremely banged up. A.J. Green is out. Josh Malone, who is a depth wide receiver. Tyler Croft, Vontaze Burfict, Nick Vigil, a linebacker. Darqueze Dennard, starting corner. Have all been ruled out, and guard Alex Redmond is doubtful with Gio Bernard getting a questionable tag, but expected to be back. So just something to consider. It's a very banged up team. Our co-host during the week, Scott and I's co-host during the week, Dane Martinez, thought that this is kind of a trap game for the Saints. I don't see it. I'm not there. Bengals are very banged up, and I think the Saints may not be as good on the road as they are at home, but I think they take care of business today. We'll come back, continue talking wide receivers and tight ends after the break. Mike, Scott, and Jim on FST.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
FST, and we're more than halfway through the NFL season. The NFL Optimizer from DailyRoto.com has produced millions in winnings for its subscribers, including multiple winners in the hundreds of thousands and a $1 million winner. The NBA is now full swing, and that NBA lineup optimizer is crushing it for people on a nightly basis. So if you're hooked, please go to DailyRoto.com and take a look at the Elite Package. It's going to give you access year-round to the suite of successful tools and projections that DailyRoto.com subscribers have been using to print money in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and PGA Daily Fantasy. When you sign up for the Elite Package, you'll get the new NFL betting tools they've rolled out, including against the spread, money line, game totals, and player props. Jim and I were talking about player props earlier, as was Scott. So head on over to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, and check out what the Elite Package has to offer. If you don't have a problem with winning money year-round, you're going to love it. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount. Start winning today. So we were talking wide receivers right before the break. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm just going through your rankings. Josh Gordon at 15. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. If you guys, whoever, when you scooped him up a few weeks ago and dropped him, screwed yourself. That's one. Two, if you hung on to him, good job. I picked him up in that Scott Fishbowl league that we're in, and I haven't even gotten to play him yet. But now we are in the throes of me needing extra guys, and he is the guy that I have there. I think I got him for nothing. Like, so, somebody just dropped him during a waiver run. I was like, maybe something will happen there. Allison's hurt all the time. And then, boom, he's just sitting on my team. So
I have a good prop bet for him.
Let's do it.
For Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Vegas has him over under 64.5 receiving yards in this game against Miami.
Do you think this is a big Aaron Jones game,
Scott? I'm going to go over there.
Okay.
What's that?
Do you think, I was going to ask if you thought it could be a big Aaron Jones game as opposed to the passing offense going nuts.
I don't know if we'll ever see a big Aaron Jones game because this team is so much pass first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then again, like Daily Roto really likes him. Ricky Sanders says they're his favorite daily stack of the week.
Yeah.
And while the Dolphins overall ranked ninth against opposing wide receivers, 2 weeks ago against – don't count what they did against the Jets last week when you do this. They allowed 51 points to the Houston wide receivers in week eight and 44 to Chicago in week six, 41 to Oakland in week three. So they're definitely vulnerable, to the a great passing game. And the Packers play so much better at home. And they have, I think they just have – they're too diverse, I think, for that Dolphins secondary.
I think in general, I think the last team I'd want to be this week is the Miami Dolphins. Going to Green Bay after
they have the
Green
better
Bay.
Record of the two teams, too, which is wild.
I know. But
yeah.
two weeks in a row of horribly frustrating losses for Green Bay. And they are just they have to be licking their chops. I think that Miami's going to get their doors blown off today, and there's nothing they can do about it. I'm with you on the prop bet. I think it could be a decent Aaron Jones. It could be a big Aaron Jones game. I really think they're going to push the envelope today and try to have all things clicking. And the Packers are at a point in the season now where they kind of need to win every game. So I think they're going to start by doing it today, Jim.
I agree. I definitely like Green Bay in this matchup against Miami. Look, two tough losses, like you say, but against two of the best teams in the league. So, you know, very hard to really, you know, get away from that. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I think the 64.5 is an easy over for me. He's hit that three out of the last four games. Still not getting, you know, as many targets as we like, but hopefully that number will increase. He'll become a steady, you know, definitely wide receiver three option every week with wide receiver two upside in this offense. But the thing here with me is in this game, it's very hard for me to get to see what's going on with Aaron Jones, because my whole narrative all season is he wasn't getting enough touches because he wasn't able to protect Aaron Rodgers as well as Jamal Williams is. You know, that was the whole narrative. You know, he wasn't that good a pass protector. Although I'm finding out just recently that Pro Football Focus has him actually ranked better so far this season than Jamal Williams at blitz pickup, at protecting Aaron Rodgers. So if that's the case, I'm still surprised that Mike McCarthy isn't using him more, because if he's doing a better job at that, he should be on the field more than Jamal Williams ever should. He's a much better running back, much more explosive, gives them, you know, chance to do other things. And it's just surprising to me that if he is being the better pass protector, that he's still seeing limited snaps.
It doesn't surprise me when Mike McCarthy, like, reduces a running back at all. You know, not to talk about the pass protection, but just the carries. Historically, ever since his team has had Aaron Rodgers, they've been a run second and run third team.
Yeah, you were talking about the Rams wide receiver 11 personnel. The Packers were really the team that was pacing the league in 11 personnel before the Rams took that mantle. They've historically run a ton of three wide receiver sets, and it just goes all into the point that we're talking about right now. So I'll just rip through these last few wide receivers. Jim, stop me if you want to make a note on a guy, but you have Jarvis Landry at 17, T.Y. Hilton at 18, Larry Fitz at 19. Nice to see him get back into the mix. And we've said we are already taking Josh Rosen over 211 yards. So somebody's got to see that. Amari Cooper at 20. Calvin Ridley at 21. Excuse me. Maurice Harris at 22. Chris Kirk at 23. Alshon Jeffrey at 24, DeSean Jackson at 25. So a whole bunch of those guys really in that 17 to 25, you are pairing them with quarterbacks that we expect to have higher yardage totals or are going to be putting the ball up in the air a lot. Fitz, Christian Kirk, DeSean Jackson, T.Y. Hilton, even Jarvis Landry to some extent. So, Jim, any notes on those guys? Otherwise, we'll move on to tight ends.
Well, the one I do want to, you know, talk about is Maurice Harris, who, you know, really got involved last week, had the monster game. Paul Richardson now on IR. Crowder out again in this game where, you know, Alex Smith is probably going to have to throw a lot to keep up with Tampa Bay's offense and such a bad defense on Tampa Bay's side that he should be fairly successful. Had a good matchup last week, at least threw for 300 yards. Didn't really do much more than that, but we don't care in PPR leagues. If you're going to get, you know, somebody to ball 8, 9, 10 times a game, we'll take that anytime, and I think Mo is in line for that again this week. I absolutely love Maurice Harris. Have him in quite a few of my DFS lineups.
Scott, we talked about
Jameson Crowder not expected to play. They could absolutely kill Tampa Bay in the slot, Mike.
Yeah. Crowder's out. He's just out already. Yeah. He's out.
Yeah. Scott, just one last note on coming back the other way. The Packers and the Dolphins, we think the Packers are going to, we talked extensively about what we think they're going to do. Anybody coming back the other way from the Miami passing offense that you would like? Is it Amendola? Is it anybody else?
I think it's Amendola. You know, he's had something of a relationship there with Brock Osweiler. You know, he's actually been able to stay healthy, et cetera. Devontae Parker, you know, we've seen the extreme highs and extreme lows over the last 2 weeks. You can't trust him. Mike Gesicki is invisible. Kenny Stills is invisible. You know, maybe they get Kenny Drake involved, hopefully, in the passing game. You know, that's a way for them to go as well. But, you know, with each passing week, as Osweiler has played, his numbers have gotten worse and worse and worse. I think he might be, if they plays for another 2-3 weeks, he might start being in the negative. He might start getting the team in territory.
Okay, now there's one point I have to add to that. I understand what you're saying about Amendola. He's seen the uptick with Osweiler there, but I don't like him today at all. He's going to be going up against Green Bay's Jair Alexander working the slot at the cornerback, and he's done a very good job of limiting slot receivers so far on the season. So while I like the uptick in Amendola's targets, I don't like him to have a good game this week at all, even in PPR leagues.
Yeah, it could be 8 catches for 44 yards.
Or it could be 4 catches for 22 yards.
Sorry. Yeah,
something could be for any of them. I don't have confidence in any of these pass catchers, but if I still like somebody best, you know, you make an excellent point about the slot matchup. Just I'll take Amendola. I can't do Parker. I can't do Stills. I definitely can't do Gesicki. Yeah, so maybe Kenyon Drake, who one of the Dolphin beat writers thought he was going to be the leading receiver this year, maybe he can take the lead today.
Okay, so going over to the tight ends, and I say that with not a lot of joy. It's a position that is frustrating, especially.
You don't like a good tight end?
Especially.
Stop that.
James.
So, I like a good tight end.
He hosted too much with Corey during the week.
Yeah. So week 10 at the tight end position. Oh, man, this is fun. At least we have Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz today, so that's good. Gronkowski expected to be out. Has it been official yet? I don't think it's official yet. But,
no, it's not official. This is New England playing games, just like you were talking about with Michelle before.
They said he was going to be out. Then they said he's traveling with the team, and they're not sure.
So he is with the
team.
So I don't think he's going to play. If he does, I think it's a decoy all the way. And
they got the bye next week. Why,
that's right. Why
play him?
I don't even understand why they're playing Michelle, but that's a different story. So
good point.
Kelce and Ertz are coming at number 1 and number 2. George Kittle at number 3. Kittle's been awesome this year, right?
Surprise, surprise.
Just been awesome, George Kittle.
Yes, he has.
OJ, he was the guy. So I say this all the time. I just wait at tight end. I have one exception to it. I took Gronkowski in the league this year. With I have a co-owner, and we made a decision to go for it because he dropped so far. I thought we'd take our shot. We were totally wrong. I had concerns about it, and that's why I don't normally do it. I don't like the way my teams end up. The team ends up pretty good with even with Gronk, but that's why I don't do it. But in general, I was waiting for Kittle. That was the guy I really wanted. And I wasn't the only one. I think he was pretty popular amongst fantasy analysts going into this year. But, you know, you were getting him, when was he? 9th round? You're getting George Kittle? And he's just produced in a huge way. And that's with a quarterback change, multiple quarterback changes. So really solid guy.
I was going to say.
Really solid guy to have in there. He comes in at number 3 this week. O.J. Howard at number 4. Scott, you think O.J. Howard's going to eat up Washington? Oh, Scott. Jim?
Scott? Okay. Yeah.
I'm back. O.J. Howard has been a must-start fantasy tight end. You know, over the last few weeks, we've really, really seen it develop. The guy's just pretty much a must-start every week, especially with that high volume. Like, Washington is 12th against opposing tight ends in fantasy points per game. But, you know, against the Giants, they gave up over 13. Against the Dallas, they gave up 10, and that's only like Jeff Swaim. Against New Orleans, you know, against Ben Watson, they gave up 17. So, you know, they can be had. You know, it's certainly there's a floor there, and there's certainly tremendous upside. You know, last week's two touchdowns weren't spectacular. They both like on drag.
They never are. So, like, these tight end touchdowns, you know, are never spectacular. Yeah, I mean, you got a couple OJ guys
Howard
that do it.
But O.J. Howard can also – we've seen O.J. Howard score from well outside the 20-yard line.
Yeah,
too.
So here's – since the bye week in week 5, week 6 –
you got these two touchdowns, you can score from anywhere.
Bye week, since the bye week. Week 6, 4 for 62 for a touchdown. Week 7, 9 for 67. Week 8, 4 for 68 and a touchdown. Week 9, 6 for 53 and 2 touchdowns. So to Scott's point, O.J. Howard has just been getting it done here for the last month. He had Greg Olsen at 6, really average, nothing game for Greg Olsen. Trey Burton comes in at number 7. Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron back-to-back at 8 and 9. David Njoku at 10. Vance McDonald at 11. He scores the other night. Austin Hooper comes in at number 12. So the two Colts tight ends, Jim, we think these guys can keep eating while they're on the field at the same time?
Sure, they did at the beginning of the season. You know, Doyle was the reception guy, and Ebron, you know, got the red zone touches and looks and scored. And, you know, that's what it's really going to come down to for Ebron. He's going to have to get in the end zone to get you, you know, a good fantasy day. But even without it, we could still see him, you know, getting like 8-9 points, which puts him close into that tight end one range every week. So with Doyle, I just think Doyle is going to continue to be a target monster. I especially like him this week against a tough Jacksonville defense that's going to put a lot of pressure on Luck and Hilton to produce, with Jalen Ramsey probably going after Hilton most of the game. I still expect Hilton to have a decent game, but it's just going to be a little harder for them. So I look for, you know, Luck to move it around a little bit. I think Doyle is a great play this week. I also think that Ryan Grant coming back this week is a very sneaky GPP play this week. Somebody you can get on the cheap, give you a little more chalk elsewhere, and could put up really nice fantasy numbers.
So both of these tight ends were on the field in week. One sec, Scott. Both of these tight ends were on the field in week 8. Jack Doyle, 6. Caught 6 of his 7 targets for 70 yards and a touchdown, and Ebron caught all 3 of his targets for 37 yards and a touchdown. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, their 12 personnel is like the 11 personnel for other teams because their top 3 receivers are basically Hilton, Doyle, and Ebron.
So keep going on the tight end position. Yeah, we closed it out with Njoku, McDonald, Hooper. Question about Njoku, Jim. Duke Johnson back in the mix now. Do we think, I mean, Njoku is just sort of a week by week decision, right? But we have him ranked in the top 12 tight ends every week, and we just never really know what we're going to get.
Well, he, you know, outside of week 8, which he threw up a 0 in, but that whole offense just got totally, you know, snuffed by Pittsburgh that week. I mean, literally just done. Nothing happened there. Outside of that, he's been pretty damn consistent. On the start of the season, he was slow, but as soon as Baker Mayfield came into this offense, you know, he's been a very steady play. Even last week, like you say, with Duke Johnson getting the majority of looks and touches and all that, you know, Njoku still managed 4 catches for 53 yards. And right now, that's basically his floor. So you're getting 8-9 points as a floor as a tight end. You're still in that tight end one consideration. You know, that's what we're looking at. The tight end 12 right now is Kyle Rudolph on the season, and he's averaging just under 9 points a game. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get into that tight end one consideration. And Njoku, you know, even with Duke Johnson being increased, I don't think Njoku takes a huge hit here.
Yeah, Scott, he's really looking in the 4 to 5 yard catch range every week.
Yeah, one thing about him, though, is I haven't ranked him in the top 12 every week because I don't know about the floor. He had a great matchup against Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and he drew a complete blank. And that was with Mayfield at quarterback. Now, look, I like the matchup again this week. And tight end, you know, outside of, say, the top, you know, 7 or so, he's a complete crapshoot very often. But you have to like the matchup. 21st, you know, against opposing tight ends, you know, Atlanta is. But, you know, the Steelers are even worse. So to your original point, you know, you really can't totally count on the guy for even a floor.
How come no Jordan Reed love this week?
Now, the cat.
What's that?
How come no Jordan Reed love this week? Yeah, I'm at 14.
Just because he's banged up with a neck in the back.
Got it. Jim, last thoughts. I cut you off.
No worries. All I was going to say, that Pittsburgh game, they just ran into a buzzsaw. Pittsburgh had a great defensive game plan that game and literally shut down Baker Mayfield that entire game. I think it was well into the third quarter before he even eclipsed 100 yards passing.
Survivor so, picks next know, I, on I, FST. I,
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Good stuff. This is Sean Engel producing. Must have had a good dad. Okay.
Yeah.
Back on FST. I know what it is. Sean's trying to explain 80s, 90s hip-hop to me through the headset. I know what I'm doing, my friend. I was listening to this song when you were in diapers. Maybe you weren't even born yet. So there you go. So I know I feel Ouch. Old by having said that, but I know what the song is. So in any event, we are on to – oh, you had one more point about the floor on tight ends, Jim, because it's been such a messy position. It is every year, but yeah, you had one more point about that.
Well, just more towards Scott's point as we were going off air. Scott into, you know, his floor is zero because that's what – Njoku had against Pittsburgh that week. Yeah, so, you know, my point to that is, you know, sometimes games are aberrations and not what they do, and we've seen him every other game basically once Baker Mayfield came in, has been a solid producer every week. So 1 week to me is an aberration, and that, you know, goes towards Travis Kelce. If, you know, people that want to have solid floors, you're looking at a guy who has the best floor as tight end right now, no doubt. But if you talk seriously, his floor is the 1.6 points he scored in week one. Now, was that an aberration, or is that truly his floor? Same thing for me, and Njoku in that 0 points is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's I guess you're saying you take it away, but I say
I don't take it away, but I
happens.
Don't consider that his true floor.
No, I wasn't saying zero was his floor. I'm just saying I can't fully trust the guy when he throws up a zero in a good matchup. That's right. Why I don't always rank him in the top 12.
Okay, Jim, you have a prop on George Kittle and Jared Cook.
Yeah, first prop for Kittle, again, Giants at San Fran. Kittle is plus over and under 60.5 receiving yards in this one. And
all day.
Giants defense has played very good against tight ends.
Amazing.
On the season.
It hasn't happened in years.
Yeah, it hasn't
happened. Really?
Everything else has fallen apart, but they're good at defenses on tight ends.
Even when they were good, that was the thing that they were the worst at. Literally, when the Giants were good, yeah, exactly. That was the thing that they were absolutely, you could bank on it. Just start your tight end against the Giants. And now, yeah, I know.
Exactly, always the linebackers.
So,
but they've been 10th on the season, but over the last 5 weeks, they're actually 17th. So they've definitely been backsliding along with the rest of this defense at this point. So great play this week. I think he easily goes over that number.
Let me ask you a question on the Giants. Jim, you're the resident Giants fan.
Okay.
The Raiders have obviously checked out weeks ago. Do you think that the Giants are going to resemble the Raiders checking out like that?
Man, you know, this is the weirdest thing for me. As a Giants fan, it makes me nuts. You know, they do certain things that show they want to give up on the season, yet they're still starting Eli. Not that he gives them a great chance to win every week, as we've seen. But at this point, if you've given up on the season, which looked like their intent when they gave away Snacks Harrison and Eli Apple for nothing, basically, it looked like they were giving up the season. Yet they're keeping Eli in as a starter when they could be seeing what they have in the young kid, Kyle Lauletta. At least get him in there now. Get him the second half of the season. Let's see what he's got and whether or not we have to focus on getting a quarterback in next year's draft. Now, from what all intents and purposes, from what I'm hearing, the quarterback class coming out for next year doesn't look all that great to begin with. So why not find out what you have in Lauletta now? Can he be the guy you can start on next year? Maybe he's not your franchise, but maybe he's good enough that you can start him next year. And the fact that they still run Eli out after the bye is a total joke to me.
And Scott, I'll phrase it a different way to you. The Raiders players look like they gave up to me. Do you expect that out of the Giants?
I don't know that I do, and I think it's not a difference of giving up. I think there's talent. There's more talent offensively on the Giants, especially. You know, I can't see a guy like Saquon Barkley giving up. Odell Beckham wants to win every game, no matter what. Yeah. You know, I can't see that. I just don't. They've lost enough games. I think guys like Odell. Have pride, I think, that they'll play for. And Saquon Barkley, he has a lot to play for individually in terms of adjusting to the NFL, becoming a better runner, et cetera. And, he's got at least we see from the outside, he's got a good attitude about the game. It's a lot different, from Odell Beckham to Jordy Nelson and Brandon LaFell. There's a big drop-off.
Agreed. Jim, that's sort of how I meant it. I really thought I think the Raiders, I think the locker room's lost. I think everybody knows that I'm not going to be around here for Vegas or even next year. So I'm not going to tackle Raheem Mostert when he's going off on a run. And the Chargers are probably going to smoke them today. And I don't think there's much that the Raiders are going to do about it. I always give the Giants, they're a funny team that even when they're bad, you have at least a puncher's chance, if not better.
Anybody. Yeah. So,
And
I got
they
you.
Compete.
Absolutely. I'm with Scott. I don't think they give up on the season as players. I think my concern is more what management is doing. You're right. Playing in New York,
I think that's
having
a fair
that
concern,
much media attention on him. Yeah, having that much media attention on him also, pushes them a little as well, because, you do bad in front of this media, you're going to get roasted across the national, line.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to pick up on that in New York. So, absolutely I agree with Scott on that.
So the three of us are New York based, and to give everybody a sense out there, because we have listeners all around the country, what Eli Apple dealt with from a media scrutiny standpoint was pretty rough the last year. I'm not saying he didn't bring it upon himself, but it got ugly. They were going to cut him at the end of the year last year. They kept him around and they turned him over for an asset, not much, but he was getting excoriated by media, as was Eric Flowers, as was a lot of guys that didn't play well or were Look, Odell dealt with it too. That stupid boat picture is still surfaces every time the Giants lose a game. It's I'm not saying other cities don't deal with this, but I think Jim's point is important that this media market does not allow players to put up a performance like the Raiders did last Thursday night. I'm sure the local media there was on them, but it is a little bit of a different animal. So what's your prop bet on
Jim? They're leaving anyway.
Yeah, they are. I know. That's a big part of it. They're out. And the players know, and Gruden knows, and everybody knows. We're out of here. So so long, Oakland. You know, the Oakland would probably kick them. Don't let the doorknob hit you in the butt on the way out. So, Jim, what was your Jared Cook prop bet?
Well, Jared Cook this week has an over-under total receiving yards of 43.5 against the Chargers. Now, to me, Cook started out the year outrageous, no doubt about it. You know, great first game, had another big game back in week four, another decent game against the Colts in week eight. But that's been it. The rest of the time, he's been, you know, 8-9 points and even 3-4 two of the last three. So for me, even though that's a low number for them in a game where they're probably going to have to throw a lot to you know, keep in this game. Well, they're not going to keep in this game. Like you said, they're going to get blown out. But
they're not going to run it.
I just think, they could.
They're not going to run the ball.
I just think this is a low number in that instance, but he hasn't hit this number in three out of the last 4 weeks.
Interesting. I like the Kittle number better.
It's a tight one.
I like the Kittle number better than the Cook number.
I like the Kittle number a lot better. Yes. Yeah.
And I think
so hard to count on Cook at this point. If I took a chance on this, I would go under, but I could easily see it going over.
So, all right, let's do our survivor picks. I'll start it because I'm going with the. I bet my buddy's listening. I'm down. It's the last two. We did a very small group of guys, just four or five guys, survivor pick, but there's two of us left now. My one buddy forgot to make a pick, so he picked the Monday night game, and he went with Dallas. So I bet my buddy's listening to this, but I'm going with Atlanta. I think they're going to beat Cleveland today. I've used a whole bunch of teams, which I can't use anymore. And I'm coming down to Philly and Atlanta are the two teams that I'd really want to use. But I'm going to go with Atlanta at Cleveland. I've thought, even when the Falcons were 1-4, I didn't kick them to the curb. I thought they would actually come back and fight through this part of the season. And I think they're going to get back over 500 today with a win. 5-4. They'll be after they beat Cleveland today. So that's my pick. Jim, what's yours?
I'm going with Chicago. Chicago's my best bet of the week. I really think they just destroy a Detroit team that's just falling apart. Injuries are hurting. I just think Chicago at home easily covers the 7. I think they go over the 44 as well. To me, this is the game I'm all over.
And Scotty, who's your team today?
I'm with you on Atlanta. You know, in order to get back in the playoff positioning race, they have to beat a team that they're supposed to beat. And I think they do it this week. They played really well on the road last week against a better team.
Yeah, I don't think people realize Atlanta's 7th right now in the NFC in the playoff picture. They'll get to 5-4 today, conceivably, and they'll be right into it. It's they'll be battling with Philly and then Washington, but I think we all think after Washington lost literally 60% of their starting offensive line in a week that they're going to have a tough time the rest of this season. Philly could conceivably get to 5-4 by beating Dallas today. If Washington loses, there's a tie there. You got Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, Carolina, L.A., and Atlanta right in the middle of it. I don't know that they're going to stay on this run, but they hit a soft part of their schedule after they went 1-4. And I think this will be their 4th win in a row today. Then they play, I'm just going on Atlanta schedule right now. They play Dallas after that. Then they go to New Orleans, host Baltimore, go to Green Bay. So that's hard. Then they got Arizona, and then they finish at Carolina, at Tampa. So I still think there's a bunch more wins on the schedule there for Atlanta. It could get to 9 wins or so after being 1-4, which would be impressive. But nonetheless, that's our picks for the day. Jim, I would pick Chicago too. I just used them a couple of weeks ago when they played the Bills. So that was an easy one, and I used them that week. So there you go. How about any DFS lineups? Jim, did you fire anything up on DraftKings or FanDuel?
Yes, I did. Give me 1 second to pull it up and
sir.
We will be right there. Yep. For some reason, my computer is being awful slow this morning.
Yeah. So,
no, computer.
That's right. I can go with one of my lineups while we wait for Jim if you want. Using the Daily Roto lineup optimizer.
Of course, as always.
And also, you know, a little advice from Ricky Sanders. You know, I went with a Packers stack this week. Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Deion Lewis, Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Jimmy Graham, Vernon Davis, and the Packers defense.
Big time wide receiver power in there, too, with Thomas and Julio Jones. Who were the running backs that you had?
Aaron Jones and Deion Lewis.
Oh, there you go.
I have Deion in mine as well.
All right, go ahead.
I have mine up. This is from DraftKings. I got Phillip Rivers at 6K, Todd Gurley at 94, Deion Lewis at 46, Michael Thomas at 81, Keenan Allen at 71, Corey Davis at 45, Vernon Davis at 28, at Jack Doyle at 43, and Green Bay at 31.
Is that tournament or cash?
Cash.
Did you say Vernon Davis and George Kittle?
No, Vernon Davis and Jack Doyle.
So you still have a two tight end set right there. You're running Jimbo.
Yeah, I'm going. It gives me the chance to go after Gurley, Thomas, and Allen, who I think are all three real chalk plays this week.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I got two tight ends, too. I got Graham and Vernon Davis.
That's right. So,
and in my other lineup, I got Doyle and Kelsey running Chiefs stack.
I kind of like that. I think Chiefs stack is certainly a way to go. Kareem Hunt, I think, is going to be, he's a chalk play for sure. But so good stuff out of you guys. I do not have a lineup set, so my apologies. Ran out of time to do it today.
Slacker.
So. I know, I am. That's what I am.
Real quick, my other one is
busy Mahomes printing out a million
Elijah
things.
Elijah McGuire. Sorry.
Oh, he's got another one for you.
Mahomes, Hunt, Elijah McGuire, Corey Davis, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill, Jack Doyle, Travis Kelce in the Rams defense.
So I heard Corey Davis's name a couple of times in here in your guys' lineups. Jim, I'll throw it to you first. Explain why you think Corey Davis is a pretty good play today.
Well, you know, he continues to get a ton of targets each and every week.
He does.
I don't think he's he's a decent play just because of the amount of targets he gets. Hopefully he catches a few more of them, does a little bit more damage in this one. Again, it was more so I could pay up and get the top guys that I wanted, like Thomas and, you know, even Keenan Allen was a lower pull, but I still think is really in line for another big game after last week. We saw him get really involved for the first time. I wanted to pay up to get a couple of those main guys, especially Gurley. You have to pay to get him. So, you know, you've got to take those chances. And at least with Davis, you know he's going to get consistent high target numbers. We saw Mariota play better last week. Going against New England, they should have to throw the ball a ton. So, I'm just playing the odds here that, a number of those targets work out into good receptions.
It's the game that you're most interested in watching today, Scott.
What game am I most interested in watching today? It's definitely not going to be Green Bay, Miami. It's just like I love watching the Chiefs every week. But, that's not a good matchup. So I probably Saints-Bengals, I would say, from like a pure NFL watching perspective.
Yeah. I think Hawks-Rams is pretty interesting, too, only because the Hawks play them. These two teams play pretty tight.
Yeah.
Historically. I know the Rams are better this year, but these teams sometimes get into fist fights. That Cowboys-Eagles game, Jim, I've been waiting for the Eagles.
That was my choice.
I've been waiting for the Eagles to turn it on. I think they're going to do it tonight.
Well, this is it. They either lay claim to saying that, they're back in this mix or not. I mean, if they let the Cowboys win this in Philadelphia, then they are absolutely just making this entire division a total, cluster, whatever you want to call it, at that point. And, Dallas definitely hasn't been playing well of late. Dak playing a little better, getting Cooper, that helps. But this Philly team, if they want to really, set their future going, they have to win this game.
Good stuff. 2 hours up, 2 hours down on FST game day. For Sean Engel and Scott Engel and Jim Day. That's been it for the game day edition of FST. I'm on Lineup Lock Live next. These guys will be here on Fantasy Football Rewind tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Listen for all the recaps, all the scores, and fantasy players. We're out. Talk to you next week.